Hi everybody, welcome. So glad you're here. Okay. So before we jump into part two of visioning, which is the energetics of new things. I feel like there were some logistical pieces I wanted to share. Just trying to see here. Think the only one is it's been very exciting. It was exciting. I got back from my trip. I want to say I thought about all of you on my trip, but I didn't. I think about you when I'm here, and oftentimes when I go on vacation, but this trip I actually thought about nothing but was what was right in front of me, which was exactly what I needed to do. I really needed that. But when I got back, it was so nice to see that a number of you have already registered for the open house that is gonna be happening. When is it happening? Next Wednesday from 12 to 1:30. And as a reminder, it was great to see that you invited some folks. I'm really excited to meet the people that you know. And as a reminder, there's still time. Please, if you want to come, please register. It's not going to be on this regular Zoom link, so you need to register to get the Zoom link for that call. Please continue to invite friends in the other cohort of Sacred Depths because they're invited as well. Some folks have posted about it on Facebook. Feel free to do that. I'm really excited. I think it's a little ambitious what I'm going to try to accomplish with all together with everyone next week, but I'm really excited about it. We're going to be looking a little bit into archetype work. We're going to toe dip into that. And we're also going to be, as part of that, we're going to be looking at the archetype of the leader and kind of doing some deeper inner work on that. You learn a technique. So I'm really excited for it. Kim is asking if it's gonna be recorded. It will definitely be recorded, but I think probably you need to register to get it. I mean, yeah, I'm trying to think what we said with the team. Sometimes I don't remember the logistics pieces. If you want the rec just to be safe, if you want the recording, register for it. All right. So last time we met, we looked at really both as we always do, kind of a combination of human behavior and energetics and skills around visioning and supporting ourselves as well as our clients to be able to vision their bigger projects and goals and dreams, as well as, I hate to say not so big, but more like shorter term too. Everything that we looked at in our last session applies to the longer term, and it applies to the shorter term. And we looked at first, just this idea that when people don't know what they want from life, usually they don't get what they want from life. Or to put it another way, when people don't get what they want, it's usually because they don't know what they want. We really talked about the importance of visioning with care and not just, create a seven-figure business or lose 30 pounds or, whatever it is, but actually visioning with care that supports the client to to take them, all of themselves into consideration so that those visions aren't created in misaligned ways or not realistic or not believable or not truly desired. Because if it's any one of those things, then it's either going to be really hard to achieve the vision, or if you're working with a get it done person, they will know how to get the vision done and they will get it done, but it is not going to be what they want at the end of the day. We looked at the importance of creating an environment that gives permission for visioning and how like deep that is, a topic of this internal permission and all of the beliefs that maybe have seeped in personally and culturally that might stand in the way of that. We looked at the difference between a desire and a should. We looked a little bit about the importance of values and a client knowing their values and having that be a guiding piece when it comes to co-creating their vision. And we looked at so much more. I'm just, mentioning we looked at stretch, risk, or die. We looked at the importance of supporting our clients to believe in their visions, et cetera, et cetera. So, before we jump into the next part of it, which is what we're going to be looking at today, which I call the energetics of new things, which is once we have a vision, now we're kind of starting to move into strategizing. We're going to be looking fully at strategizing next week, but there's this in-between place that most practitioners don't even think about, which is what we're going to be looking at today, which is that when a client starts something new, which a vision is, even if it's an old vision, they're starting it anew, we want to handle it in a particular way. And so that's what we're going to be looking at today. It's very nuanced, but the nuances can create a lot of magic. But before we do, I'd love to hear from a couple of you. We have a few minutes. What's been resonating for you around visioning? What's either been on your mind or since our last session, if you've been working on your own vision or with your coaching partner, or if you've brought some of that into your client work, what have you been seeing and noticing? What would you want, do you want to celebrate? Or what questions do you have that have been coming up around visioning? What's been on your mind around all of it and your heart? Who'd like to share? You can raise your hand. Juliana.
I don't think Angie is here today, but I had such a great session with my partner, with Angie, and it was hard, right? I'm appreciating all the things that we talked about in class last time and having that experience of not even with skilled practicing, it's hard to get to that vision without going into the goals or the how. This isn't practical, you know? So I'm really looking forward to today's topic to kind of see, because we found ourselves feeling a little guilty that we couldn't get through like a proper, okay, here's my vision, you know? But we just relaxed into it because we were both having the similar experience. So I'm just appreciating that this is not just like a one session thing with a client. It's a thing, you know?
Yeah, I'm so glad that you're bringing that in. There's a couple of pieces in there that I just want to pull out. So first, you don't have to hit every single thing when you're doing vision. I just want to, make a note, like no myth of perfection. That being said, not always, but sometimes when it's a little bit of a longer term vision, like not the conversation I'm going to have with my team or just the next project that I want to do that you're visioning out, but when it is a little bit of like, what do I want my business to look like in a year or two from now? Or what do I want really, for in some moments, sometimes it's one session and there that's it. But Other times, and particularly it also depends on like the person and what their inner nature is. Like you said, it's not a once and done. It's a starting to shape the outer edges to like get an idea, maybe a couple of the details really drop in and are clear and positive. But then you're depending on who your client is and where they are in their lives and what season they're in, because there's a difference between early spring and late spring, right? Like early spring, things are still a little dark and hazy. They need a little more time. Late spring, there's like Christmas. We can crispness. We can see it. But anyway, depending on the client and their natural, who they are, as well as what season they're in, for some, they're going to take that shaping and some of the details, and then they're going to need to marinate on it. There's nothing wrong with that. That doesn't mean that you haven't done anything wrong at all. That's part of the natural process of visioning. I'll just give myself as an example. I've been visioning, for example, my business for decades now. And this year, I'm like, I've done all of the things, and I'm like, that's not quite it. Like, I don't know what I want next. I'm in the ballpark, but there's something else. And I know in this moment for me where I'm at with it, there's no one question that anybody can ask me that's going to produce the magic answer. This is going to take a little time for me to walk the path with what I know so far, what I know I don't want, and it will drop in, but it's not going to today or tomorrow. And that's okay. Good, thank you. Jana.
So I'll preface this by saying I missed the visioning. I haven't caught up on the video, but I've gone through some of the materials in the transcript. With that being said, my peer partner did the visioning on me, so I've had the experiential, And I had read through some of it before we met, so I already sort of identified to her that I felt like I was in a winter, at least at that moment. And, we still did it, the practice, and some things actually came through with the understanding that I wasn't in a space to like execute. And I've had this experience with clients. So they come to me for like a lot of times people come to me to help them with weight loss or health. And then we, I do a very like comprehensive, 2 hour per session, which is already after I've done one or two consults, and they filled out all my forms. And I've had this experience with at least two clients where they came in with this thing, but there was this other part of their life that was so dominant that and I asked them, of course, but I'm like, with this going on, do you think is the time to focus on weight loss right now? So it was kind of nice to have the experience myself, So.
Absolutely. I'm glad that you're bringing it in, and I'll just like toss a little tip to think about for that too. If a client is coming in winter, and they're either not quite ready to vision, or they can vision but they're not ready to execute. We don't want to pin down the winter too much because there is like chaos and mystery. But that being said, the next thing could be to vision how they want to move through the winter. Right? Okay, we're not in a springtime yet. We're not in a moment to like execute on this, and this. So what do we want this next period to be? Knowing that we have this beautiful opportunity of the winter, how can we leverage this? What do we want? Right? And then apply all of the visioning techniques to that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Nikki.
Similar to
Shauna, I'm in winter as well, but Lisa and I last week, she helped me work through what does rest mean, but she also helped me connect it to my bigger, longer term vision. Because yeah. Part of my longer term vision is, you know, to have that sense of wildness and freedom. But as she termed it, why don't we think about this winter being that rewilding period? Because all animals know when to rest and how to rest. So we delved into that.
Yeah, so nicely done. And a great example of actually what I was just sharing is, so then you worked with what it did make sense to vision with, and what did have ripeness to the visioning. Beautifully done, the both of you. Good. And again, the other thing that I want to remind everyone is, some people, like I said, I can't vision 5 years out. It's just, or I haven't been able to up until now. For if you're working with a client, maybe for them, even a year out is just not in alignment with where they are right now, but maybe they can vision 6 months out. Maybe they can vision 3 months out, right? So work with what you've got. And that's what's going to be right for the client. Now, that being said, this is good segue into something that I wanted to make sure we touched on. Sometimes it's resistance. Sometimes it's not the season. It is, or that it's too far out, really, because it's not aligned to vision that far out. But sometimes, right, because fears can come up. Visioning can be super exciting and inspiring, but it can also bring up so much. So we're going to actually, I didn't even think about it until this moment, but really so much of what we're looking at today addresses this question. It addresses, what we're looking at today addresses a lot of things, but one of the things that it addresses this question of, like, so what if a client is resistant? But for now, before we get into all of that, I just want to share a couple of other thoughts about it. Number one, remember the power of normalizing, both for your client as well as for yourself, right? And it has to happen for yourself as the practitioner too. So if a client is resistant to visioning and we go into, oh my God, what did I do wrong? Or what's wrong with them? Or this isn't normal. That's not going to make for a very productive session, right? So number one, remember, it's normal for people to sometimes be resistant to seeing what they want next. Doesn't mean anything has gone wrong. Doesn't mean that it's not going to be totally like wonderful and that you're going to be able to make it happen. It just means that it's normal sometimes for there to be resistance, right? And then share that. And you don't need to use the word resistance with the client, but you can say it's normal not to be able to see all of the details, or it's normal not to necessarily know exactly what you want. That doesn't mean that we're not going to get to the end of this process and you're going to be so happy or excited, or it's normal that it's not going to happen all in one session, that it takes time, right? So normalizing, so important. Number two, you might want to explore a little bit around the resistance. Now, a little later in the program, we're going to go deeper into the resistance archetypes and we'll get really fancy around this. But for now, I just want to give some simple questions. What do you sense is in your way? What are you scared of? What would be at risk for you if you were to get more clear on your vision? By not getting clear on your vision, what are you avoiding? That can, you know, so any of those questions can bring up, and then you can kind of go deeper into that. It can loosen it up enough to start to vision some more. And then the other point for now, I just want to share around resistance to visioning is, I want to remind you, as we looked at last session that visioning is a process of the heart, not, I mean, the mind is part of it, but not really the mind. And sometimes a client can get stuck if they are too heavily in the mental level of learning and processing when it comes to visioning, like when they're trying to think it. And so if that's the case, you want to bring in other levels to get them out of the mental level of learning and processing. So I shared an example of kind of a heart-based visualization. That could be one way. Creating a vision board where they don't need to know what the vision is, but they take time just pulling different pictures from magazines that call to them. And then in session together, you can go through it and start to make meaning of it and connect threads and see something, you know, in the vision board. Connecting with spirit, asking spirit what spirit wants for them on whatever the thing that you're visioning together is. So moving them out of just the, like, they have to think it, but instead feel it or intuitively pick images or whatever it is can really help. Let me pause on that. Anything that anybody wants to share around the resistant to visioning piece or what's kind of clicking together for you in the conversation that we're having so far today? Involve.
So definitely the fact that it's a process and not one and done or once and done. My question is around, like, you know, uncertainty and like existential dread and maybe like deeper or different like mental health issues where, you know, looking forward and any suggestions on how you would address that when, you know, it can be really hard to conceive of the future. And just in thinking about it, I don't know that it would necessarily be different because it could be part of normalizing. But like if you have depression or anxiety, then yeah, it can be really hard to kind of think ahead or have any excitement.
Yeah. Yeah. It's such a good question. So a couple different answers to this. First of all, it could be out of your scope, right? So that's one thing that you just, and that doesn't mean that you necessarily stop working with the client, but it might mean that in tandem, they work with a therapist that knows how to work with some of these pieces. For me, I know I'm out of my scope if I've tried lots of my different tools, many of which I'm going to be sharing in Sacred Depths, and it's just like, it's just not, there's not movement, or there's like one step forward, but then like sucked all the way back consistently. That's when it's like, this is not in my scope. So it's just, it's good to know that. And then from there, normalizing, yes, 100%, right? And again, I'll like remind everybody, normalizing is the opposite of pathologizing. Normalizing is the opposite of shaming. You know, it's just valuable no matter what. And then what the normalizing can do, whether there's a piece here that's out of scope or not, is that it can possibly support the client for the two of you together to get clear on the scope of the vision. So similar to what I was sharing before, so like, what is the vision for how I want to move through this next period where I'm feeling this way, right? Or scope could be, I can't think 6 months out into the future, but I can maybe get excited about something that's in 2 weeks from now that's like not a big risk and work on that. And so let's vision that, right? So you can work it from there. Yeah, you put in the chat and then maybe they look at the next thing only. Good. Okay. So all this being said, let's talk about the energetics of new things. And like I said earlier, one of the reasons why this piece is important is because there can be a lot of resistance to either visioning new things, or once they're visioned, moving forward into like strategizing and executing. What we're going to look at today is kind of some different perspectives on the human behavior behind what I call the energetics of new things. And when I say new things, just to be clear, I mean a new relationship, a new marketing strategy, a new house, a new way of being in the world, a new commitment, a new habit, a new creative project, any new project in any area of life, or an old project that is ready for a new vision. The reason why I like to isolate this too is because new things have a distinct energy. New things have a distinct energy. And the more that we can understand that distinct energy of new things, then the better we're going to be able to help navigate our clients through the new projects, the new commitments, the new actions. Most of the time, you don't want to treat taking the first actions on a new project in the same way that you'd treat taking action on a continuing or ongoing project. That's where some blocks can show up. So, you know, I constantly, because I'm a student of the cycles, I come back to the cycles. So just to kind of give a little bit more context as we go into this, there are four phases of almost every cycle that we see in nature. And it's a cycle, so we could start in any of the phases, but I'll just start in spring for right now. So spring, new beginnings, birth, rebirth, renewal, new projects. Next phase is summer. That's a growth phase. That's when the newness has faded and we settle into the persistent and consistent work of summer, the consistent watering of the plants, the needing of the consistent sunlight. It's usually not as sexy as the springtime. The sun rises every day and it shines every day and the days are the longest and we're working in the garden, right? Whether it's the garden of our relationship or our business or our home or whatever it is. And then through the summer, it grows and it grows. Sometimes it grows as much as we thought it would. Sometimes it doesn't grow. Sometimes we thought it was going to be a rose and it shows up a petunia. But anyway, you know, we grow our projects. And then we move into the autumn, which is the harvest, which is really enjoying the fruits of our labor, which is really taking in the juiciness of the fruits that we've grown. Sometimes that can get complicated. We're not going to get to that on today's call because, again, it's not the fruit that we thought it was going to grow, or it was like ended up to be more of a runt than a full, right? So, but generally, we're, you know, in this harvest and learning to harvest the growth. And then from there, the next phase is the winter, is the death, is the letting go of that cycle, is the moving into the space, is the letting the long night, right? The silent night, the giving things some space so that the next cycle can happen. And sometimes that next cycle is the next project. Or sometimes that next spring is just the next go at the same project, but in the next deeper way, or the next evolution of it, right? So Sacred Depths has a spring every time I start a new cohort, but there's still a spring to it. And I take that spring differently than I do the summer of the, like in the middle of our classes. Are you with me so far on this? So the spring, which is what we're talking about today, the energetics of new things, is when it's aligned, it has an excitement to it. It has a sexiness and an appeal and an excitement to it. It's a little bit of a different energy than that energy of the summer, of the persistent and consistent growth. Like, think about how I felt about my husband when we were starting to date versus how I feel about him now after 16 years of marriage. And the love is so much deeper. And like, yes, there is an excitement, but it's a different kind of feeling than the first month or two of dating. If I had the feeling about him that I had now, in the beginning, I probably wouldn't have moved through with the relationship, even though now I know that it's better and deeper in this way. Does that kind of make sense? Yeah. Okay. So we want to support our clients to feel some of this spring energy, some of this new energy, some of this excitement when they start a new project or a new iteration of a project. I'm using a lot of different metaphors, but I'll just use one more. In order for a baby to be birthed through the vaginal canal, the mom needs a shot of Pitocin that goes to her and the baby, and the Pitocin is like creates this burst of energy, and the burst of energy is what helps push the baby out. But once the baby's out, that burst of energy, like that's not what's needed to sustain the baby. What's needed to sustain and grow, moving into growth versus new and birth, is the milk, is the constant attention, is the tending to. Yeah? Okay. So we want to think about this way in terms of projects as well, so that we have that burst of Pitocin to start something new, or to start something new again that maybe didn't work the last time we tried it. Sounds all easy, but of course, sometimes our clients aren't necessarily gonna be there, you know, excited, that burst of energy to go, go, go. It's wonderful when they are, but they're not always there, right? So let me pause here and ask you, what's your relationship to new things, new projects, new habits, you know, any of the things that I mentioned before, new commitments, new creative projects, new strategies? What's your relationship to new things, and how do you approach them, and how do you feel about them? And it might not be, you know, a monolithic thing for you. It might be different in different areas, etc. So, yeah, be with that question for a moment. See what wants to come through. Heather says, prepare myself for heavy stress. We're going to talk about that one. Yeah. Who else? What's your relationship to new things, new projects? How do you approach them? Sarah says, I have a love-hate relationship. So, so, so exciting. Follow through can be a slog. Follow through can be summer, not winter, depending, but increasingly learning to stick with projects. Good. Yes. Lauren says, I get excited and inspired, but then I get overwhelmed, confused, frustrated, and lose steam. Yep. Nina loves it, so much energy. And then you try to have an eye for the long run. Good. Jennifer says excitement and also some fear. I always like to say that's the best way to start something new. Excitement and with some fear. Then you know it actually means something. It's like important enough. Caroline loves new things. Approach them with excitement. Summer, the watering, the constant watering is where you lose steam. Yep. Natalie says excited, ideation, see possibilities. Yeah, another excitement, and then not always good at implementation. And we're gonna, part of what we're gonna be looking at today is how to set up the new thing too. I mean, there's lots that has, that goes on with implementation that we're gonna look at over the months, but to how to set it up to be in the also the best position for that. All right, let me pause here before we go on. And I'd love to hear one or two of your voices around what's feeling important so far in this topic of energetics, of new things. Like, what's really striking you so far? Natalie.
I'm so glad you asked the question about how we relate to newness, because I hadn't thought that we had different reaction to that, because I'm thinking that my reaction might be most people's reaction. And then it's like, wait a minute, we have different reactions to that. So I don't, that seems so basic, but in writing and seeing the responses of others, I'm like, that's really helpful, because I'm so about this whole seasonal cycle thing, as you know, from that course you taught Sacred Rhythms, Joanna, but it's a new spin on, I can explain what that spring energy is, but it doesn't mean that that's what that, how that person approaches it.
That's right. That's right. So that you just checked a filter.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's one of the reasons why we're looking at this, because not, our clients are not going to necessarily have the same feeling that we do. You know, sometimes I'll vision with a client and I'm like getting so excited for the vision that's being created, but then I can tell they're like, whoa, right? Like, this isn't gonna happen, or, you know, like whatever it is. And so we need to be aware of that and then address it and work with our clients.
But you just said it. I actually think I've been missing that. It is a filter that I have to now acknowledge. And I think I've been missing that, me getting excited about it and they're looking like this, doesn't mean that they're in awe. They could be like an overwhelm.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. And we're going to look at like, what are the different like human reactions and responses to new things. It could be a couple of things. Good. Heather.
Yes. So for me, like, I understand, you know, the natural cycle and whatnot. I think when it comes to like my own personal visioning, I have a hard time knowing when to like close that spring and transition to summer. So then I end up like flying the plane while I'm still building it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. So first, I'm glad you're bringing that into the conversation, because you're not the only one. Part of what we look at today may address some of that, but it may not fully. So when we're like, after we get through the material, if you still have some thoughts or questions or how can I work, definitely ask again. But I want to wait till we kind of like get through some of the pieces, because it might inform some of that. But that's such a good awareness. And the other thing that I just wanted to say is where I thought you were going when you started talking, but you didn't. But I want to mention it because it's another common thing, because you said, I never know when to close like the visioning. Some people will just love to stay in visioning energy because it's so exciting and it's shiny and new. And then they use it as a block or distraction or good excuse to not move on to summer. So we want to be tracking ourselves, if it's for ourselves or our clients, to be able to like call that out and know when the point is like, okay, now we're just visioning for the sake of visioning because it's exciting, versus actually getting into the rolling up our sleeves and the more effortful in some ways work of summer, or that consistent work of summer. Good. Okay. So we're going to look at a couple of those different client approaches that might be a little less that I'm so excited for this new thing. So that we can really, and again, you know, so much, one of the things about sacred depths, this is just so important to me, is this whole program is, we keep on coming back to three pillars that run throughout everything. And the pillars are energetics, right? So our energetics, so important. The actual skills and the techniques, so important. But the third pillar, and hopefully you've seen, we've been doing this all along, is an understanding of the range of human behavior on the things that we're looking at. Because the more that as practitioners we can understand human behavior, then we can bring the techniques and the skills to life and know how to apply them. Because remember, always coach the what based on the who, so then we can apply them to the who that's in front of us. We're going to vision and then strategize with one client in a very different way than we might vision and then strategize with another client. Some of it based on some of the different human behavior that we'll be looking at today. Does that make sense? Okay. So here's one approach to new things that can really get in someone's way of either visioning or strategizing. I don't know it all yet. I don't know it all yet. So that could look like, I can't start working on this project because I don't know what all the pieces are going to be yet. I don't know how, you know, I just don't know all the pieces. Can't get into this relationship because I don't know everything about this person. One thing that we want to remember, this is also based on nature and cycles, is that visioning, initiation, and planting starts in the dark. So visioning, initiation, and planting actually starts at the tail end of winter, not in the full light of the end of spring. When we're starting a new project, we're not supposed to know all of the details. And I don't know, you know, for those of you that have children, you may relate to what I'm about to say. If I knew all the details of what it took to raise a child when I was thinking about birth, I would not have done that. Right? Same with marriage, same with a business, right? Like it's just, this is the truth. So when you start a new project, you're not supposed to know all of the details. Early spring, think about early springtime in most environments, not all. Early spring is still wintry. Dawn isn't the full light of the sun. It's still very gray, it's still darkish gray. And when we plant seeds into the ground, we're planting them into the darkness of the dark soil. Babies are partially blind when they're first born. They certainly don't have all of their faculties and resources yet. So it is just a fact of nature that we start all things in the dark. And yet, for many people, it is terrifying to begin in the mystery, to begin in the dark, to not know all the things, to not be totally clear. That's in part because of culture and society always values light over dark, clarity over mystery. And then we don't trust that the clarity will come through the process. We don't trust that it's gonna work out if we can't see all the how, right? When sometimes I'll be visioning with a client and then like in the middle, they'll stop and they'll be like, wait, but how is that going to happen? And always coach the what based on the who. Sometimes it's not appropriate to say this, but oftentimes I end up saying, right now, the how isn't important. The how is just the ego's way of like getting you out of this. Right now, the commitment to the what is important. Is this making sense? So take a moment and think of a situation where you've started something and it was still partially in the dark or in the mystery. Really, probably anything that you've started, but think about it, right? We need to start in the mystery. Dreaming happens in the dark. That's when there aren't any boundaries and anything is possible. Right, let me pause here. What's feeling important? What's coming together for you? What are you seeing for yourself or for clients? I'd love to hear a share or two. Heather.
For me, what's coming up is, you know, that natural law of, you know, the perpetual transmutation of energy moving from non-form to form back to non-form.
Yeah.
So like, I'm just, since I started working in incarcerations, I've always had this vision of having a reentry transitional house that like integrates the pieces for successful reintegration. So it integrates the housing piece, the job piece, connection to community. And like, you know, now after 5 years, like we're interviewing for that program manager. And I'm just like, this is just so exciting because like the vision came out of seeing so many people come back. So the way the system's set up now doesn't work because they're coming back, and how can we change it so that they can be successful?
Mm-hmm. I love it. I love it. And what I love too, well, tell me if I'm getting this right, because you didn't explicitly say this, but it feels also just like you're going into it with this spirit of, and we'll learn more as we do it. And then, because we don't know everything, and then this might need to change and that might need to change. But that's okay. We're still going to get a project manager in and we're moving forward with it.
Yes, absolutely. And then hopefully when it is successful, then it can be replicated.
Yes. Yes. Good. Thank you. Fanshan.
Hi. I just want to share how much I am really appreciating myself, you guys. And the process that I've gone through over the last year, quitting my job and like everything that you've outlined today, Joanna, like I went through that process. Like I had no idea what I was going to do after I quit my job. And I just like let myself be there. I read books about transitions and like what they were like and what they meant. And I hiked with my dog every single day. I just bead, you know, and it just was like completely what I needed for that period of time. And then I moved into the next phase of inspiration and creativity and, you know, got into action. And then it just has continued to kind of flow in the way that you're describing. And it just feels really validating. And it also really helps me think about how I can support the clients that I work with in these different phases and just really allow them to be where they are and nurture where they are and trust. That's the other piece that I feel like has really been so valuable for me, is just trusting that the thing that I'm doing now is the thing I need to be doing now. And that will support the next thing that I need to do, but I don't have to jump to that next thing that I need to do while I'm in this thing. And it just feels really, yeah, it feels really validating and really affirming and really just like nurturing in this moment. So I just wanted to share that.
I feel that as you're sharing it. I mean, in addition to just how beautiful your process is, so much to celebrate there. But what I really want to celebrate is I can feel you honoring yourself through all of that. Yeah, nicely done.
Yeah.
Thank you. Jenna.
So it's interesting because I feel like Anshin and I are in a similar path. You know, I left a job because I had to, essentially. It was severe burnout and my body was not taking it anymore. Where I differed was not allowing the transition to happen and trying to force it and not letting what you said about winter, about releasing. I don't think I was giving time and space for release. And then my body told me that again. It's very good at telling me that. And it took me to a place where I had to.
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting to look at that and say, you know, one way or another, you're going to have to go through the phases, right?
It's true. I mean, winter always comes, spring always comes, right? It does always come whether you want it to or not. I love that. I can tell me if I'm getting this right. Like, I feel like you're not sharing it with too much self-judgment, but with like a compassion for self in the ways that you've moved through and with a lot of learning that you've picked up along the way.
Yeah, I would say the compassion has only recently come in, but yes. Yeah, finally it's coming in. Yeah. Somehow I can help other people with it, but applying it to myself is
hard. Yes. Thank you. Thanks for sharing. All right. So, a couple of coaching tips for when you're working with clients who get caught up in this fear of I need to know all of it, or I don't know all of it yet, so I can't vision or I can't start. First of all, don't underestimate the power of creating awareness. So just like I've created awareness for all, you don't have to spend as much time as I just did, right? But creating awareness around that things don't start in the full light of day with full clarity, etc. Supporting clients to see how they have been holding on to that belief and how that's impacted them, etc. Just the starting to create awareness around all of that can really go a long way. Sometimes asking questions kind of around the, so what do you know? You don't know everything, right? So what are the things that you do know? And then leading from that place. Sometimes asking a question like, when was a time in the past when you moved forward even though you didn't know how? And what did you learn from that? Some people will find this next question annoying, but I'll just share it for the right client. How is it possibly a gift that you don't know it all yet? Okay. So here's another kind of approach to new things that sometimes people have that can get in their way. It hasn't worked before, so it's not going to work now. Raise your hand if that has crossed your mind before. It hasn't worked before, so I'm not going to try and do it again. It's not going to work now. This is a really common one. I've tried to find a romantic relationship before, but it's always failed, so it's going to fail now. I taught a preview workshop for my program before, and no one became a client, so why would it work now? The kind of the core belief is it didn't work then, so it's not going to work now, right? So take a moment. When has that happened for you? When have you brought this perspective to a situation? And how did it feel? And what was the impact for you? And then let me ask you this. When is a time that you can think of that you started something again that didn't work before and it worked out because you allowed yourself to start again? Yeah, and Lisa's saying in the chat, I think there's actually some negative pleasure in negative forecasting at times. Very true. Yeah, so when is a time where you've allowed yourself to start again? All right, I'm going to give you the start of a sentence, and then my invitation is just for you to write. I'll tell you when to stop. It'll probably be about a minute and a half. Just keep on writing without thinking. Complete the thought. Can be a run-on sentence, can be many sentences. I am willing to start again because. I am willing to start again because. Just keep on writing. Don't think about it much. And keep on going. Take another half a minute. And then you can bring your writing to a close and just read over what you wrote. What's coming through? What are you seeing? What's feeling important? Who wants to share? Jennifer.
Hi. I was going to raise my hand earlier. So I had a 12-week course that no one signed up for that I started to like in August. But after you were saying that, my energetics were off. I didn't want to do it. So of course, nobody was going to sign up because I just wasn't really that into it. But then that question, it was really like, I'm willing to start again because I have a passion for seeing women healed and whole, a passion for helping them break down old programs and paradigms so that they can live authentically and unafraid, to reclaim their wild and let go of their shoulds, to heal those places that have been holding them back and let go of limiting beliefs. So I do a lot of shadow work and I just love hanging out there. I don't know why, but
I'm with you. So I love it. Like I got a little bit of a chill when you were sharing the writing because I could feel the passion and the energy in it. And what I see came through the writing is one of the ways to support a client when they're stuck in it didn't work before, so why now? Which is to reconnect them back to their deep why. In that writing, you got connected in to your mission and your why. You're like, why you do this? So you let that carry, that's one way you can work it, right? Like that, let that carry you forward versus all of the like it didn't work, right? Focus on the why.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for sharing. We have time for one more share. Does anyone else want to share what you're seeing? What's coming through in terms of it didn't work then? So will it work now? Or I'm willing to start again because. Gaia.
Hi.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Well, you know, it hasn't worked before, so it's not going to work now. I was trying to figure out what in my life was like that. And I actually had a difficult time. It was very challenging. And I'm like, that's ridiculous. You have so many things. So I couldn't find one. And then when you gave us the sentence, I'm willing to start again. I'm just going to write what I wrote. It's very short. Oh my God. I'm willing to start again because I have faith in myself and the world. I just do. What if the brain is a living, feeling thing that also has cycles? And maybe this is a cycle to rest. I believe my brain is asking for help to get going again in a different way. And then I wrote, it needs a new spring. And I couldn't find something. And that's what's happening with my brain. It's like it wants to be aligned in a different way. It needs new triggerings, need neural pathways because of, you know, what happened. And it's I feel like it wants to wake up in a new way. And so I'm just trusting the weird words that come up that I've never used before. Like, for example, saying, I don't have to wait as long anymore. You know, my headaches don't come as much anymore. But instead, I said to my doctor, my headaches aren't as wide anymore. And I was like, that's not what I mean to say, doc. But, you know, it's, well, why not?
Yes. Yeah.
So why not? I could work with clients, you know, I could just have them come into a new way of seeing things, you know, and new ways of saying it, writing it, exploring it, you know, arranging it. It doesn't have to follow what we know, typically what we know, right?
I love it. I love it. Yes. And the writing that you shared was so powerful. And I want to really encourage you to come back to reading it and to reading it out loud. I could feel just how it moved you as you were reading it and how it was creating new neural pathways around starting again and moving forward for you. Really beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Good. Okay, so when we have a client who comes up against this, it didn't work before, so why would it work now? What are some things that we can do? So maybe support the client to see that that's a limiting belief. It doesn't have to be the truth, right? Sometimes we think that what we believe is the truth with a capital T. But it's not very, that's not always true. So help them to see that there could be another belief here. And when we get to rewiring negative thought patterns, we'll go into some kind of cool somatic techniques for that. We also can help support our client to explore how this new thing, even if it didn't work out before, has the potential to be different and work out this time. So some questions that we can ask that can help with that exploration is, what do you know now about this task or this project that you didn't know before? What are some learnings about this that you have now that you didn't have before the last time you did this? What did you learn? In other words, what did you learn from the last experience? What would you do differently? What would you do the same, right? Another question that can support a client to see that this thing has potential and can be different and more successful this time. What resources do you have, inner or outer, that are going to help you accomplish this? What resources do you have, inner or outer, that can help you accomplish this? Here's another question. How are you different than the last time you worked towards this? What do you have now that you didn't have then? Another question you could ask, why is now the right or the divine, you use language that works for your client. Why is now the right time for this thing to come to fruition? And then sometimes just simply also asking, what do you need from me? How can I help you this time around? You've got me as a resource this time. Normalizing that things don't always work out the first time can really help with this as well. I always use like examples from my own life from that, right? And usually whatever I'm working with on a client, I can even use that same example on my own life. The first time I tried to do a program, this and that, right? So normalizing that just because it didn't happen the first time or even the second time with some things, right? Or on and on, doesn't mean that it's not going to. Sometimes I'll do some consulting if it's an area of expertise. So like in my experience, here's what I have seen is really required to achieve this goal that it looks like didn't happen last time for you? These are the pieces that I would want you to put in place this time. And then again, as Jennifer modeled so beautifully, reconnecting our client back to their deeper why can really help with this. Natalie.
Yeah, I just felt compelled to share as I was writing your questions. It just made me think of an experience I had with a client that actually ties all of this together and just demonstrates why this is so powerful. She is a visionary woman, but she had so much fear because she had started businesses or whatever and never followed through. And so her whole refrain was, you know, it's going to be the same this time. I'm so scared, you know, or I am not, I can't do this. And one, the first awarenesses was about back to the why. One of the questions I would have asked around, like, you know, what would happen if you didn't get to do this thing? And she actually started crying. Mm. So that was a whole thing in itself. And then the follow-up session was all around, you know, all the things you're just saying, like you keep saying you did it before. What are the things that are different this time? We made a whole list embodying all these things that you just mentioned, Joanna. I believe, and I can't prove it, but this was a critical shift in her thinking that allowed her to now carve a different course to herself to see this thing to fruition. And one of the biggest differences was that she had me as a coach before she was doing it on her own. And I'm not taking the credit, but I'm saying, like, just having the support and all of that, the accountability and all of that, huge.
That is a resource. That is a huge resource. All of it. Yes. And I lost the words that you used, but you shared a really great question that we can add. When you said she started crying, what would happen?
Oh, what would happen if you didn't see this to fruition, this vision that you have, this idea?
Yes. Yeah. Beautiful. It's a really nice question. Good. Okay. All right. We're going to move on to the next possible perspective or approach that a human might have on new things that can get in their way. The expectation of shiny and quick moving results with no bumps in the road. And at least I don't know. I like to blame the transformational industry marketing for a lot of things, but I just have to say, like, some clients are sabotaged before they even begin with this one because of the ways they've been marketed into a program where, like, it's going to happen overnight, like, all, right? And so that expectation of the shiny and the quick moving and no, like, it's there. And then the moment that it doesn't happen right away, or there's a bump in the road, which we all know there is going to be a bump in the road, right? It's not all going to happen right away. And so then for that person, like, the moment that that comes up, it's like they're shattered. It's like they're what's wrong with me, and full of shame, and I'm doing this wrong, and this is never going to happen. And I mean, right? Like all the things, when it's like, actually, this is just the process. This is real life, my friend, right? I tend towards the negative. I just want to, like, out myself. I tend towards negative thinking. We'll talk about that more. I need to look at negative thoughts. That is just in my nature. I like to blame it a little bit on my Jewish heritage. So I'm saying that to say, what I was about to say next is support clients to be realistic about the process that it will take. You don't have to be negative about it, right? Like, things can be magical. Parts of it can be magical, right? But realistic is always, like, set up realistic expectations. I know I personally have fallen into this trap, even though I do tend towards the negative and, like, expect the worst. I have gotten frustrated and like, ugh, maybe I should give up, right? When I've hit bumps in the road at certain times. So we want to really support our clients to see what they're doing when this happens, right? And to normalize the process and to set up expectations that are going to be exciting, for sure exciting, but ones that aren't going to set them up for failure around what the process is going to look like or be like. I feel like a piece of the work that I do with some clients at first, when we're starting to work towards a business goal, is undoing the marketing mania that they've seen out there. So part of this is supporting also a client to build their resilience. We'll talk a lot more about that later on in the program, but for now, slow and steady and purposeful usually wins the race, not always. It's okay to be a beginner. It's okay to not be moving as fast as whoever you see moving on social media, who is maybe likely lying about how fast they're moving anyway. Supporting clients to see where they've hit a bump in the road before that have kept on going to fruition. Let me pause here. What's feeling important about this one, this expectation of shiny and quick and no bumps in the road? Anyone want to share? Heather.
For me, what comes up is like, if you don't explore that possibility, then you can't prepare for it.
Yeah.
So I feel like even if our clients don't identify, like it's our job as a coach to say, okay, what if an obstacle arises?
Yes. Or what, at the start of something, what obstacles might arise? Like, let's just name them now so that we're not thrown off track, you know, when they show up. And what is it that you want to believe or know or remember when those obstacles come up? Good. Julie.
Hi. I thank you. I just love that you're naming this piece about the shiny and fast, and look how fast I'm growing my business. I'm like bragging about multiple seven-figure income months. And I'm just kind of like really appreciating you naming all of this, because I'm increasingly in a place where I'm just like, how do I want to say it? Just like, I'm just tuning out that noice. Finally, I just finally came to the place recently where I'm just like, okay, that is actually not what I'm motivated by genuinely. I thought that I was, but in reality, I'm genuinely motivated by being a heart-centered practitioner and providing services from that place, you know, whether it's food or coaching or cleaning products. So yeah, that's just feeling like such a weight lifted to just remember that, like, and also just what you said about like, just that the reality of this world we're all choosing to be in is like, it does take work, and it doesn't have to look like hustle and grind culture, but
it takes effort.
Yeah,
it takes effort. Yes to everything you just said, and I also want to just pull out that a piece of it was a great demonstration of visioning and executing with values leading the way versus shoulds leading the way. Thank you. Jana.
Hi.
Yeah, and also appreciating you talking about the time. I'm somewhat still new to coaching, so I'm finding that things take a lot longer than you might think. And pretty consistently when I work with a client who has a very specific goal, like a number-based goal, I will ask what other things would look like success for you? Because sometimes it's hard to reach that goal because there's other factors that are not but the pressure is really there. Like, you can do this in 8 weeks, or you can do, and the pressure from marketing business consultant people is make your program shorter, make your, that they can get a result in a shorter period of time. And
it's hard. True. I actually have an email going out about that tomorrow, just this like programs that are, it's appropriate for some things to be sure, for sure, but just this culture of like, you can do it quickly, you can do it quickly, you can do it quickly, it's really what messes so many people up. And it doesn't, again, it just doesn't allow them to be in reality,
Thank you. And the other piece of it is I have, not a business coach will say, but say like, if you make your program 6 weeks, most people will stick with something for 6 weeks. So they'll be happy, But then what I think is like, but will they really? Because at 6 or 8 weeks, or sometimes earlier, sometimes later, is that's when the resistance comes up. That's when the problems come up, and now they don't have any support.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I don't want to get too much into like program design, but I want to say one thing about this. There's nothing wrong with a program being 6 weeks or 4 weeks or 10 months or whatever it is. What's important, like the integrity piece and the success piece, is for you when you're putting together the program to ask yourself, honestly, what are the results that can be created in this amount of time? And make those marketing promises and nothing more. Okay. All right. So I want to briefly mention another piece or another perspective on new things that can sometimes get in the way. Starting something new oftentimes means letting go of something old. And that can be a block for some folks. Starting something new can oftentimes mean letting go of something old. So if there is a fear of letting go of an old vision or a relationship that's not working, or an old project or an old way of doing something, or an old habit, if there's any reticence or reluctance or resistance to that, that may not be spoken, right? And that's why I'm sharing it with all of you, just to know that this could be in play for a client. It might be a place to go looking a little bit, but if they're really avoiding starting something new, it might be because they're clinging on to something old. We can become very devoted to things that are no longer working for us. Much later on in the program, when we get to being in the mystery and releasing, we'll look at strategies for releasing and letting go. But for now, I just really wanted to bring this to your attention because, even just starting to create awareness around it, having a conversation like, oh, wait, I'm not getting into that new relationship because that means that really my relationship with X person is like, it's done, I'm not going back there, right? So even just starting to create that awareness can go so far. And then the last piece that I wanted to mention today, another block, is that back to this energy, like this the spring energy and the excitement and the newness and the inspiration and the wonder and the awe. New things require the energy of our elevated inner child, of our maiden selves, the one before she was wounded, if you will. That elevated inner child or maiden is open, is excited, is curious. She sees the wonder in all things. She could look at a leaf for 5 minutes and just get, be in awe of it and excited about all of the details. That inner child and that maiden isn't attached to outcome. Their ego, right? Ego is not like in how it's going to turn out. That elevated inner child or maiden is willing to laugh at their own mistakes and then keep on going anyway. There's no expectation of perfection. They're not jaded yet by the world. They're looking for fun. So sometimes if we have trouble accessing that part of ourselves, which many of us do for, you know, like she just got buried under history, right? So sometimes if we have trouble accessing that energy of the, oh my gosh, and excited, and I'm gonna have fun, and I'm gonna experiment, and it like, it doesn't mean anything about me if it doesn't work, and right, all of that, we kind of need some of that to start new things. If we're too seated in our ego, it is very hard to start something new. If we're too attached to outcome or to looking good or like all of our experience, you know, all of that, it is harder to start. So part of it makes it easier. These are the resources, right? But it's like we get too entrenched in that without the openness. It makes it hard. Does that make sense? So sometimes the work is supporting our clients to tap into that energy inside of themselves, even if it got buried a bit, to connect in with that inner child or that maiden, to ask the inner child, what do you want me to know about this new project? To bring that inner child along when they start to take steps to the new project. Maybe to put on silly music and get in the mood before taking that first new step forward, writing that new kind of email or doing that video or right, whatever it is, going on the dating app site, whatever the thing is. But bringing some of that play and that fun and that I don't need to know everything, and I'm willing. Everything new that I do in business, when I don't bring to it the idea and the energy of like, this is beta, this is an experiment, that's when more fear sets in for me, and then I'm less willing, or I take it really hardly when the bump in the road happens. Okay. All right, we have just a minute left. You'll have resource sheets and worksheets, but in our minute left, I'd love for you to write down what is the biggest thing that you're taking from our call today. Maybe two things. For yourself personally, what's one of the most important things you're taking? And then practitioner-wise, what's one of the most important things that you're taking? And I'd love for someone to have the last word. What are you taking away? Who'd like to share? Who'd like to share? Someone raise their hand. What are you taking away? I don't want my voice to be the last. Jennifer.
I think I recognized myself that I stay stuck in the not knowing phase for a very extended period of time. And so just knowing that about myself, I think it gives me a little bit more insight into my clients. And one of the very most important things for my clients that I'm taking away is the normalizing of it not working out after multiple attempts, and that that's okay and nothing's gone wrong. And there are some people that can do it one time and be done. Other people are going to take the scenic route, and it's going to be a long extended process, and neither way is better.
Yeah, that's
all the ways are legitimate and they're all personal, and you just keep going.
Yes, I love that. What a beautiful thing to end on. All the ways are legitimate. There's not one pace or way that's better than another. It's just about what's right for us and what we need. So important for us to remember and for us to remind our clients as we support them. Thank you, everyone, for all that you brought today. I am excited to see how all of this is going to take root for you. And please just share in the Facebook group as things come up. Any questions, etc. Till then, until next time, I'm sending you all a big hug. Bye.